We're under pressure, men, and we can either let pressures of life overwhelm us or face them with active, steadfast endurance, relying on God's grace to carry us through. I'm Brian Patrick. We're continuing our series on marks of the true Christian based on Romans 12, patience in tribulation, this time on crossing the goal. As we continue our series on the marks of the true Christian, patience in tribulation this time. Here's the kickoff as we introduce you to our Crossing the Goal team. From Renewal Ministries, the Vice President, Peter Herbeck, the founder and president of Focus, Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Curtis Martin, and former All-Pro wide receiver and NFL coach, Danny Abramowitz. And Coach, how does tribulation show itself?
Well, guys, you know, we're living in times of a lot of trials and tribulations going on right now. And if you just, I was just jotting some things down here because it's a real thing. Loss of jobs. Think about that. Retirement funds dwindling for guys like us, Brian. Illness with self or family. Loss of homes. Look at how many foreclosures in homes. And the divorce, you know, trying to single families, raising children in a single family. The only way you can deal with these things, I believe, is to have trust in God that He will take care of this in His time. Mm-hmm. And just you have to totally just trust and say, this too will pass.
Yeah. You know, Jesus said to His disciples, and He speaks the same words to us. He said, in this world, you're going to have troubles. You're going to have difficulties. You're going to have them. You know why you're going to have them? He said, because I had them. And He said, remember, be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. And so being able to walk through this, we have to walk through it in Christ, and He'll give us the power to be able to endure and grow through tribulation.
You know, the purpose of the kickoff is kind of to set stage, why is this even important? And we look at patience in tribulation, and we realize that this really touches on what it means to be a man. Yeah. And when we're tested in this, we have to be honest, we don't do too well. Patience, that's not exactly the virtue most people describe when they think of men. And to be able to endure tribulation without losing our control, without continuing to be men who are engaged to try to build a civilization of life and love and goodness, these are things that we struggle with. So I'm excited about this topic. Yes.
And I would say that we need a game plan for patience in tribulation. Curtis and Peter have it for us next here on Crossing the Goal.
Welcome back. I'm Curtis Martin. I'm here with Peter Herbeck, and our theme is flowing from Romans chapter 12, verse 12. We talk about patience in the midst of tribulation. And let's look again at our terms, but let's start with tribulation. What is tribulation?
Well, tribulation is to be squeezed, to be put under pressure. There's an image, and as I was looking up the term from in Old England, they used to try to get prisoners or people to confess. And what they would do is they'd lay them down and they'd put weights on their chest, and one weight after another, and just keep pressing and pressing to the point of almost killing them. But that pressure would cause them to want to surrender and to confess. You know, and it's an image of what tribulation can do, because tribulation presses in on us and it's very difficult. It's a trial. It's hard. Listen to St. Peter. He says in chapter 4 of 1 Peter, verse 12, he says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal which comes upon you to prove you." Now, there's a perspective right there that Peter the Apostle has about trial and tribulation. He goes, first of all, don't be surprised by it. And I think it's the first thing we're always surprised by, you know. Why is this happening to me, you know? Why isn't my life smooth and easy and comfortable? And why is all this bad stuff coming my way? You know, that's our typical perspective. But he says, don't be surprised by this fiery ordeal which has come upon you to prove you. You know, to test you. And what does he mean by that, actually? Do you have any idea, Curtis? Like, what does he mean to prove you?
Well, we're told in the wisdom literature in Sirach that, like gold tested by fire, so is the man of God tested through ordeals. And you look at the image of the way that gold is tested in fire. As the gold is melted, the dross, the imperfections, rise to the surface, can be rubbed off, and what's left is a more pure form of gold. Yeah. And God is essentially saying, man, in this world, I will allow the tribulations, the difficulties to affect you the same way that fire affects gold. It won't be pleasant, but in the midst of it, you're going to be purified. You'll be better for having gone through it than you were before you went through it.
Yeah.
And this is the warning. I actually allow this to the ones I love the most.
Yeah.
And to have this sense of, wow, God must love us a great deal, because he, with a father sitting from the perspective of eternity, is saying, it's worth it. I know it's worth it. Trust me.
Now, to be able to say that, this is where the battle is. It's funny, because tribulation is often, we see it as a physical thing, as torture, difficulty, or trial. But most of the battle's right in here. And you're describing a guy who's able to lay hold of the truth. You know, this is where patience comes in. It says patience, to stand under, abide in the truth that you know about God and your relationship with God. He said, I'm with you always. I will never fail you. I will never forsake you, right?
Right.
And to be able to hold on to those truths in the midst of trial is the key to getting through them, to be able to lay hold of that biblical perspective of who God is in relationship to me, no matter what the circumstances are in my life.
No, and the other word for patience is long. Suffering. Yeah. And you started with a reflection on 1 Peter, but I'd like to continue on and jump to the next chapter, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. It says, and after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Again, he has our good in mind, but we need to know and have great confidence, because this is going to be a brutal process. And I think we have to wake up. If we read the newspapers, if we see what's going on in our lives today, we realize we are under attack in a way that we haven't been recently. Yeah. And it's time for men of God to be proven, to allow this to make them into better men, not allow it to crush them, get them discouraged. Yeah. But I also want to say, you know, God is speaking from an eternal perspective, and sometimes his deliverance is a deliverance into heaven. It doesn't mean it's necessarily going to get better in our lifetime. And that's okay, because it will get better if we have an eternal perspective.
Yeah, and I think the eternal perspective is a great one. Here's Paul. Here's the very thing Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. He says, so we do not lose heart. This is another way of saying being patient, being long-suffering, hanging in there steadfastly in the midst of trial. We do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, though we have troubles and we don't like it, even aging can be a tribulation, and sickness and disease and all that kind of stuff. Our inner nature is being renewed every day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond compare. So this is the biblical worldview. This is the disciple's mind in the midst of no matter how. Here's a guy, Paul, shipwrecked, whipped, beaten, the whole bit, lived a very difficult life, was a homeless man, went without food many times, and he said, this is a slight momentary affliction. You know what I mean? Can you imagine? You say, what's wrong with this guy? Because he's got the eternal perspective. Life is short. We're here today, gone tomorrow. Life is a breath, and he knows it. And God will use all of it to prepare us to come into glory in our relationship with him in heaven.
Yeah, I mean, and here's a statement that no one ever said to St. Paul. Come on, man, be a man.
Yeah,
I mean,
this
was a guy who was a model for us of what it means to be a man who, as Scripture says, a man of whom the world is not worthy.
Amen.
Brian?
All right, Curtis, Peter, thanks a lot. Great game plan, except for the smug remark about how aging can be a tribulation.
Yeah, I know they always do that. Yeah. You know something, when I think about patience, I become impatient.
Yeah, when I ask God for patience, he gives me opportunities to be patient.
Yeah.
We're going to try for patience in tribulation in the red zone next here on Crossing the Goal. We've moved into the red zone now here on Crossing the Goal, our topic, Patience in Tribulation, as we continue the series on Marks of the True Christian. And guys, let's face it, most of us are doing pretty well. We have a lot going for us, but everyone has tribulations. I mean, look at a guy, a positive guy like Curtis. You look at him, he's got everything going for him, but you face some great tribulations.
Well, in some small ways. You know, I mean, compared to the great saints, nothing. But I do remember the year that Focus started. We moved across country. That's a challenge. During that year, two of my closest friends, through circumstances that didn't make any sense, were kind of ripped away from me. We had a son who was diagnosed with autism. We lost another child late in pregnancy. It was just a grueling, grueling year as we were trying to be faithful to what we believe the Lord was calling us to in launching Focus. But you sit back and you had to. It was a gut check to sit back and say, Lord, did we discern your will properly? Everything you said is in the mind. Did we do this rightly? And really trying to hold to it. And all in the midst, really experiencing suffering, if even for a fairly brief amount of time compared to some.
I mean, the battle in the mind, as we were saying, it's always a temptation to kind of jump ship when the trials and tribulations come, to say in the sense of, God, where are you? I mean, why are you letting, I mean, if you love me, why would you let this happen to me? You know, and we're thinking of Paul. Paul looked at it, as we were saying up there, with a slight momentary affliction. We're talking about these passages. I kind of got a kick out of it when you think about how radically this guy lived in comparison to what we've undergone. Just read a few things he says. He says here in, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm sorry. He goes on to say, I've experienced far greater labors, far more imprisonments. I've experienced countless beatings, often near death. 5 times I've received at the hands of the Jews, 40 lashes less one. 3 times I've been beaten by rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I'd been shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger in rivers, danger in with robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at the sea, danger from false brethren. In toil and hardship, through many sleepless nights, I went hungry. He was without food and the rest of it. And he says, and apart from other things, you know, these, he says, you know, apart from other things, he says, there is the daily pressure upon me of my anxiety for the churches. But you say,
other than that, he was doing
better. Yeah, that's better than that.
He's
having
a good day. Guess what? Everyone who was watching our show just turned it off.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sitting there thinking, reading him, and he's exhorting, he's calling this a slight momentary affliction, you know. I've got dandruff in a CPAP machine, and I have trouble sleeping at night, and I think I'm living through hell. You know what I'm saying? It's just crazy, the difference in how much the Lord calls us to grow in maturity.
You know, so that took a period of time. That wasn't just happened over a month or so. Your thing was over a year. It took, and the answer to these situations, sometimes we become impatient and waiting in trials. We have to wait for the Lord. I can recall a time in my life, through my craziness lifestyle that I was living, I lost everything. I put our family in the worst situation economically and just whipped down. And I can remember, guys, I was sitting out in the yard, and I start weeping. We had $500 to our name. Kids' tuition was due, everything was due. Lord, and my wife says, He will provide. That's what she said when we was out there. And I was distraught. And finally, I was in the insurance business at the time, and I was trying to sell this guy insurance policy. And the next day he called up and he says, we're not gonna go with your policy. And of course, that was another down. He said, but he says, we want to hire you and bring you on with our company, and we're going to pay you a month's advance salary. And I start making more than I was making when I played professional football. Mm-hmm. It was just, you know, thank you, Lord. I was just whipped down. And when we get to that, but I was hanging in there. I was whipped down, but I was trusting. And mm-hmm. He answered our prayers at His time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't you think that if we are patient, God's time is not our time. I say that God goes in slow time, and I'm always in fast mode. But if we just do what's in front of us, what He gives us to do, and then when we look back, we can see how God came through for us. But it takes patience.
Yeah. One of the things that strikes me is one of the habits we have at Focus is every afternoon we gather our staff together at 3:00 and pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet for our donors. And the donors send in requests, and I am overwhelmed at the amount of suffering people are going through. It's just a never-ending stream of a lost job, a lost child, a sickness, really heavy, heavy things. And God knew that this world was broken, but he loved us so much that He's willing to allow the world to continue to unfold so that people can be born into the world so He can rescue us and lead us to heaven, which is so much better that every tear will be wiped away. And for us to have that confidence, because it over time, life's just going to beat us up.
Oh, yeah. You know, another thing, don't you find out, guys, I get mad at myself a lot of times. I start feeling sorry for myself when maybe some things don't go my way.
Yeah.
And then I start thinking and hear of other people with their situation, what they're going through. And the answer to a lot of these, to ours and to these people out here, is prayer. Many, many times, the only answer brothers start telling you about what's going on in their life, and it's, wow, this is heavy. And the only thing I think we can do sometimes is just pray. Brother, let me pray with you.
Yeah.
And I mean pray with it. You know, say, this Lord, just help this, you know, whatever. And ask the person, and they're so open to prayer. Because that's the only answer sometimes to
the
situations.
The whole idea of standing there, you know, prayer helps us keep the right perspective. That's why it's so encouraging. And it gives us the strength to be patient, to just stand in there. Because, you know, the scripture says God's ways are not our ways. This is an area where the way I think about reality is not the way God thinks about reality. You know, I want to get out of tribulation as fast as I can. I mean, I don't see any, it doesn't make sense. I want to get rid of it. It feels unjust and all these kinds of things we can wrestle with in our mind. But you know what? God's perspective is eternal. He said, I'm preparing you for heaven.
Right.
And sometimes what you need is you need trial for purification. Like Peter says, this is going to prove you. Why are you surprised? God is allowing this to happen to you because you need purification to prepare you to be with God forever. This will be over soon. It's like being in the dentist chair. You know, no one likes to get in the dentist chair. You know, get me out of here.
Exactly.
But you know the end result. You go through that pain because the end result is going to get you where you want to go.
You used the phrase earlier, this too shall pass.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, sometimes when you're in the middle of tribulation, it feels like it's always going to be this way.
Yeah, yeah.
But it isn't. And the good things pass too.
Yeah.
But I found that they say a watch pot never boils. If I sit and focus on a problem that I've got, I just try to exert my own will, and it's useless. But if I do something positive, take action, help somebody else, leave that in prayer to God, I look back then and see how God took care of it.
He starts to resolve those things. I know for myself, one of the times that I really saw this from the other perspective, every once in a while you get a chance to do that, typically as a parent. And my daughter had a really bad sore throat, and she was, you know, she was crying, she was in a lot of pain, and I went and got the medicine, and I said, sweetheart, just swallow some of this. And she looked at me with tears in her eyes. She said, but Daddy, swallowing is what hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to trust me that by swallowing, which was going to hurt, it would actually make it feel better. And I thought, this is where I am with God. I'm looking at it, and He's saying, trust me. But you're trusting you is actually what's getting me into this problem. I follow you, and it hurts.
Yeah.
And but He knows, because He's got that fatherly perspective.
You know what I think is always, people come to me and ask, you know, I'm in this situation, or what can I do? Do you have any advice or anything like that? And I always use a prayer when I get in the situation, whether it be myself or my family or whatever, friends, that, Lord, if you give me this trial and tribulation, I accept it, you know, not a lot of times, you know, willingly sometimes, most of the times kicking and scratching. But I says, you need to give me the strength to deal with it. If you give me the strength, you and I can work this out. And it does work that way.
Yeah, and even Jesus prayed that way in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of prayer, why don't you lead us? I think for all of our people, there is a lot of people out here that are suffering and trials and tribulation. And why don't we lift them up in prayer?
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Lord God, you are a gracious and a merciful God, but you are leading us through a broken and dying world. And so in the midst of that, there are so many of our brothers and sisters who are watching. And right now, we want to raise them up in prayer.
Yes.
Lord God, you know who they are. You know their hurts and their pains and the things that are giving them great disquiet in their soul that are producing anxiety. We ask, Lord God, that your power and your grace would rain down upon each of us so that you would be so real to us that we can trust you, that you would lead us through the tribulation. Lord, you promised that you've overcome the world and you want to conquer in us the brokenness of sin and of death that haunts us in this life. Be with each of our viewers and our listeners. We thank you for them and for your plans in their life. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
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 Amen. Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, so we'll get to the end zone next. We'll talk about patience and tribulation, the last word. We'll check out our email bag as well next on Crossing the Goal. pushed across the goal line here on Crossing the Goal in our segment on patience and tribulation. These guys will get the last word on that. First, let's check our email bag from Salem, Missouri. Email from Rachel. She says, I'm retired. All my life, I beg God to use me. I volunteer in a second grade classroom, but I don't want to get involved in any other ministries at church and don't feel God is asking me to do that. How can I know what God wants? Am I just lazy and stubborn? Or am I hearing God say, you've done enough, be at rest? Well, Rachel, I would say to you, you're really shorting yourself if you don't get out and do some other things. I know for me, the more I'm able to do for others, the better I'm enjoying my autumn years. And believe me, you'll have plenty of time to rest.
Also think, Rachel, you might be doing your will instead of God's will. Sort of get in prayer and stay what you're doing right now, and the Lord will lead you on the path that He wants you to take.
In a world that is crumbling and falling apart, I think if we have energy and we have health, we still have a calling to serve and to help build a kingdom. So I would follow with you all and say, let's take this back to prayer in a new way and say, God, open my heart and my eyes to see where the needs are.
Yeah. Amen.
All right, and we talk occasionally. Coach and I have a shared experience in recovery, so I just want to read this one from Peter in Alexandria. He said, will you pray for me? I am continually inspired by you guys, and today I woke up and made a decision, a positive step in my life, to attend my first AA meeting.
Amen. So,
good
Praise
for you.
To
go. One
to
day
go.
At a time, Peter.
Yes.
Yeah. Now to our Peter, Peter Herbeck, for the last word on patience in tribulation.
Thank you, Brian. You know, the saints give us a lot of wisdom, and brothers and sisters who have gone before us, who have been in very difficult situations, have learned the truth about what St. Peter and others have spoke to us about, the slight momentary affliction, and how God is near. I was thinking of Corrie Ten Boom, for example, a woman who was in a Nazi concentration camp, suffered a great deal, and she came out. She said one of the things she learned was that there is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still. That's a truth you can take to the bank.
That's powerful. I've also, my mind is drawn to another example, kind of a more modern example. Jim Elliot, the missionary martyr, said this. He said, he is no fool to give up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. And I think we have to recognize this is a world that is passing away. Let it go. Place all of your hope in heaven.
Man, we can empathize with you out there, what you're experiencing. We've experienced trials and tribulations. You heard from us. All of us do. It's just part of this life that we live in. I think that the main thing that you really have to realize is, where does your strength come from? And the strength comes from the Lord. Just ask the Lord, please, Lord, if you give me this trial, this tribulation, give me the strength to deal with it. And He will.
All right. Thanks, gentlemen. If you're enjoying Crossing the Goal and you'd like to get more of it, you can watch these episodes online at our website. You can also get DVDs of Crossing the Goal on the web through the website or at the EWTN Religious Catalog. And on our website, we actually have questions you can download for free that you can work with your small group. It really is a great resource. Peter Herbeck, Curtis Martin, Coach Danny Abramowitz, thanks for being with us, and thank you for joining us. I'm Brian Patrick. Be with us next time as we talk about constant in prayer here on Crossing the Goal.